Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in that day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus here is addressing the Pharisees, as we have been studying about. And notice in verse 33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The tree will be known by its fruit. Only a rotten tree will produce rotten fruit. And their hearts, the Pharisees' hearts, were so rotten that they were speaking these things against Jesus. And in this verse, there is an appeal for them to be honest. If it's a good tree, call it a good tree. Jesus is telling them, if I am good, I say that I am good, my works show that I am good, then say that I am good. And friends, stop and consider this. A good tree is going to have good fruit, a bad tree, bad fruit, for the tree is known by its fruit. That was true back then, but it's true today. And people are going to know us by our fruit, whether we produce good fruit or bad fruit. Our works are going to show our nature. In verse 34, he says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. These people were wicked. They were like poisonous snakes with corrupt natures. The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The mouth is not going to say something unless it's in our heart. And this is an important principle for all of us to know and understand. And the prince of this world, Satan, knows that the message that you allow in your heart will forever shape you. Whether that message is good or whether that message is bad, he knows that. It's a fact. And every day, he is going to be trying to fill your heart with his messages, not the messages of Christ. Satan is going to try to fill us with his messages. And those messages, if we allow them to dwell in our heart, they will damn our soul. And that is what Satan is trying to do. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. In Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Notice what Solomon is saying about the words, his words. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Why? Because words are either life or words are death. Words give us life, or words are evil and bring death. In verse 35, the good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. What is Jesus talking about, this treasure in the heart? The treasure that he's talking about is what we value in our heart. What a man brings forth, that's what a man says, is a clear indication of whether he is a good man or an evil man. And our words tell people who we are. We don't have to tell them. They know by our words. They know by the way we speak, by the tone we use. They know whether we are loving people. They know whether we are full of hate. They know whether we are full of prejudice. Why is that? Because the heart brings forth what is within that, in that heart. Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So notice a couple of things about this. Jesus is telling us, he's making a contrast. And again, that's one of the ways you teach people, by comparison or contrast. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. What happens if you lay up treasures on earth? He says, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But if we lay up treasures in heaven, neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. They had a concern back then about their possessions, about their wealth. And he mentions two areas of their wealth here that he's talking about, their clothes and their money. Clothes could be destroyed by moths that would come in and eat them. And many of the houses were made of mud or mud and loose stones. And a strong man could break through the wall of the house and go in and steal the treasures that were in the house. So friends, he's telling them, don't lay up treasures here on the earth. And we should not be in love with our treasures, whether it's our clothes, our houses, our cars, our material possession. Everything that we have in this world is corruptible. What does that mean? It's corruptible. It sounds like a bad word. It means it's going to be destroyed. It's decaying. It's wearing out. It's falling apart. It's fading away. You can buy the nicest, prettiest new dress. You can buy the nicest, newest suit. And over time, it's just going to wear down, fade away to nothing. You buy that nice, new, shiny car. What's going to happen to it? Over the years, the years are going to take its toll on it. It's going to rust out. You buy a house, you have a new house built, and I've heard people say one of the worst things to do to a house is do nothing. Do nothing, and over time, it'll be a ruins because all the elements will beat down on it. You don't do any maintenance, you don't take care of it. It's going to be corruptible. It's going to fade away. It's going to wear out. And Jesus says, don't get caught up in the things of this world, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. The real emphasis in life is not on accumulating things, but on doing the will of God. Now, is it wrong to accumulate things? It's not wrong. It's not wrong to accumulate things. But friends, we need to put our emphasis on doing the will of God. Because if we accumulate everything in the world and we don't do the will of God, we're going to lose our soul. We can not have any worldly possessions and we can go home to heaven, because we have done the will of God. When our righteousness is approved by God and not to be seen of men, then we are making a deposit in God's heavenly bank. The Pharisees, so many times we would read about back in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus would tell them, don't do like the Pharisees, and don't do this, and don't do that, because they want to be seen of men. They would pray on the street corner. They would disfigure their face when they fasted. They did all of these things to be seen of men. If we do things to be seen of men, then we have our reward. That's it, just to be seen of men. When we do that, we miss out our heavenly reward, and we rob God of the glory that He deserves. So our emphasis should be on spiritual things and doing things with spiritual purposes. We stockpile, we build up those things that are spiritual. You know, the world places a big emphasis on accumulating things. You need more things. You need bigger things. You need better things. And again, it's okay to have things, but we shouldn't be a slave to those things. We lay up for ourselves. You stop and think about that phrase, lay up. It implies we do it, and we do it again, over and over. And when we do that for God, we don't ever have to worry about losing what we store up for God. You stop and think about that. You have money in the stock market, and on so many of the TV stations, on the news station, they'll show what the stock market is doing, up and down, up and down. They'll do prices on futures, up and down. They'll do prices on precious metals, gold, silver, other things. Why do they do that? Because people want to know, is their money going up, or is it going down? Why do they want to know? Because that's where their heart is. Their heart's with those treasures. And you can have $1 million one day and lose it all the next. You do God's work, you lay up treasures in heaven, and you're never going to lose it. Nobody can steal it. Nobody can take it away from you. Another country can't come in and say it's worthless. We lay up our treasures in heaven. The stock market will let us down. God will never let us down. Material possessions will be corruptible. The things we lay up in heaven will never be corruptible. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we're spending our lives and energies on earthly things, then our lives are not what God wants. We cannot spend all of our time on earthly things and then say that our hearts are with God. We only have so much time and energy. And the problem we read back in Malachi, they were saying, y'all, we're giving God everything. And what were they giving Him? The leftovers. They were giving God the leftovers. This is a revealing passage. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because you can tell a person's love and interest by looking at their treasures. Again, the words tell people what kind of a person we are, and our treasures tell people what kind of people we are. Almost everything people do or have shows where their treasure is, and people will show off this or that. And again, there's nothing wrong with having things, but when you become a slave to them, when you put them ahead of God, people, again, they want more. They keep working to get that bigger house, to get a second house, to get an additional car, get a boat, this and that, and whatever else on top of that. Or it might not be things, it might be another degree. And it's interesting, and I like education. I try to continue to get education and take online classes. But something that just always struck me odd is how somebody can go to a college and graduate from a college, and 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years later, they're talking about something 50 years ago, like it's their whole life revolves around that. They're just so wrapped up in that. And they it's like they worship that. And that is not, I'm not talking just about people out in the world. Sometimes you see it in the brotherhood. And I've been at meetings sometimes and see two preachers talking, and sometimes one of the first questions they ask is, oh, where'd you go to school? And they place an emphasis on some institution instead of on what they have from God's Word. I heard one person say one time, some of those people are more full of school spirit than the Holy Spirit. And again, they're promoting this or that. And that's where their treasure is. That's where their treasure is. And we've got to be careful where our treasure is. Where our hearts lie, our interests lie. Where our interests lie is where our heart is. Is our treasure the Word of God? Is our treasure living the Word of God? Because friends, it can't be, yes it is, and then it can't be all of this treasure in the world. It just doesn't work that way. Look in verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, it's talking about the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. This lamp of the body, the eye allows images inside the body. If it's clear, he's talking about if it's clear, it's going to be sound, it's going to be healthy. And a way to demonstrate this is like with colored glasses. Say you had three pairs of glasses. One had yellow lens, yellow, red, and blue. You put on those yellow glasses, everything you look at is going to look yellow. You put on red glasses, everything you look at is going to be red. Blue, everything you look at is going to be blue. If we put on worldly glasses, if we have worldly eyes, everything that we look at out there, we're going to see in a worldly way. How can I have more pleasure? How can I enjoy this? How can I get more money? Some of us have an eye disease. An eye disease. Our eye is not clear. And some of us here have a physical eye disease. And we take drops. We take drops. If we don't take drops, what happens? Our vision will get cloudy and you start losing your sight and you can eventually go blind. If your eye is bad or there's darkness, darkness in the Bible represents sin and ignorance. And we've got to have that clear eye, that sound eye to look at things. If we look at things from Satan's point of view, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be more and more like Satan. And our eye is going to be dim, our heart is going to be dim, and we're going to love living in that darkness and doing the works of the flesh. Paul warns about that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. That's an awful list of people. Did they just wake up one morning and that's the way they were? Nope. How did they do that? Again, it was what they put in their mind. One thought at a time, one choice at a time. And we must be careful because none of us can serve two masters. The one who has a clear eye is serving God. The one that has a dark eye is serving Satan. And remember, what we love is what we give our devotion and attention to. Not what we say we love, but what we give our devotion and attention to. Now, if I say I love fishing, and you say, oh, really? When's the last time you went fishing? And I said, oh, probably about 30 years ago. You'd say, you don't love fishing. I'd say, oh, yeah, sure I do. And if we say we love God, and somebody says, when's the last time you prayed to God? When's the last time you studied His Word? When's the last time you shared God's Word with somebody else? If they asked us that and we said, oh, it was, I think I did that last month or maybe the month before, our heart reveals what is in us. And we get caught up with all that stuff out there. Life is not about that stuff that we have. Life is about that stuff that's in us, our character, our desires, our passions. And passion, recently, that's one of the words I dislike. You hear it's like, it's a cliche. You'll be hearing somebody on TV and they say, my passion is, and whatever it is. And it's just overused. It's overused too much. But friends, we should be passionate about Christ. We should be passionate about the stuff we put in our heart, in our mind. And life is not about that stuff, but life is about what God wants to fill our heart with, to fill our mind with. And what does God want to fill our mind with? He wants to fill our minds with Christ, with Jesus Christ. You see, our heart is empty. It's looking for something to be filled. There is a void in there. And only Christ can fill that void like God designed it to be filled. I've got a buddy I've mentioned before. He used to be a Catholic. And about anything that you can think of doing in the world, he did it. And he would be the first to tell you he would go to the clubs. He would do this. He would do that. And he realized that that wasn't fulfilling, that that lifestyle was self-destructive. And he learned the truth. He became a preacher, and he's been preaching for probably 35 years. There's a void that waits to be filled. When I was a little kid, the house that we grew up in, we had a coal furnace, and then later my dad switched it over to fuel oil, and we had this great big underground oil tank out in the yard, which a lot of people wouldn't understand that today. And there is a cap on the top of it, and when it would get low, as a little kid, I liked going out there, and I'd flip up that cap, and I'd yell down in there. I'd yell in there, and some of you are laughing because you know why. It would just echo. I'd say something, and it was this great big empty tank, and it would just echo in there. And you fill it up with oil, and that echo goes away. It's not empty anymore. And see, our hearts, our minds are empty. And God wants to put something in our minds. He doesn't want to put in our minds that desire to go out there and make $1 million or get the biggest house on the block or get that education so many degrees. He wants to fill our minds with Christ. He wants to fill our minds with Christ. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. In verse 36, I say to you that every careless word that man shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. Again, words indicate the feeling of the heart. Jesus says one will not speak what is not in the heart. And that is why men will render accounts for what they say. Our mouth does not say anything that our mind is not thinking about. And think about that. The opposite is true also. We will not speak to the lost about the need for them to change their life if it's not in our heart. If we don't have that in our heart, we're never going to talk to people about that. What are we going to talk to them about? We'll talk to them about the ball game that did or didn't play, or the movie that we watched last night, or where we went on vacation. We'll talk about whatever's on our heart. So those things that we are silent about, are they on our heart? Talking to that person that we know is lost and needs to be saved, is that on our heart? Friends, if we have filled that big, empty heart of ours with Christ, it's going to be on our heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Now our judgment is going to be based upon a man's words. It says so in verse 37. It's going to be based upon our actions also, but here it's talking about judgment based upon a man's words. Those words will either prove us to be a righteous person or an evil person. And think about this. Silence is also, in a sense, speaking something. We learn something by silence. Matthew 10:32, Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny my Father who is in heaven." And there's two ways we can deny Jesus. We can just come right out and flatly deny him, or we can keep silent. We don't open our mouth about Jesus, and we are denying him. Friends, we need to have Christ in our minds. We need to speak his words. We need to sing his songs. We need to introduce others to our Heavenly Father. And there should be a fire in our hearts. Our hearts should be filled with that word so that it comes out. Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might through the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love," he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Is this something miraculous? No, it's through faith. It's through the Word. Christ is living in us. God is our owner. He paid the price to redeem us and to sanctify us, to make us his own. He purchased us with his blood, and he has the right to tell us what he wants in our mind. He wants us to do that so that we will obey him. And when we think about obeying Christ, 3 points, and I'll touch on this again tonight. Whenever we obey, we need to obey right away. We need to obey all the way, and we need to obey in a happy way. Right away, all the way, in a happy way. If we say, I'm going to do it, and we never get around to doing it, that's not obedience. We need to obey all the way. So many people will obey up to a certain point, and then they stop. And then some people will obey right away, they'll obey all the way, but in a grumpy way. Well, I'll do it, but I really don't want to do it. Friends, we need to understand what obedience is about. Proverbs 4, verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Our thoughts, our words are energy. It's, you get into things like quantum energy and the power that they have. And if you don't think that words are important, you see a teenage boy, you see a teenage girl, one of them tells the other one, I love you. And the whole world changes by the power of those words. You see a husband and a wife, or a parent and a child, and one of those says, I hate you, you're worthless, you're no good. Those words are powerful. There's power in words. And what did Paul say? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, the words are so powerful. They use it's the Greek word for dynamite, our word dynamite. Words are powerful. And the words that we have come from our mind. And 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Again, we need to have the mind of Christ implanted in us. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Where does he live? He lives in our hearts and our minds. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. When Christ is reigning in our hearts, he's ruling. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God, where? We know this, in our hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for those, for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Friends, out of the good treasure of his heart, what do we have in our heart? What is our treasure? Hopefully we've invited God to come into our heart to fill that void. We let him reign in our life. We lift him up. We acknowledge his authority. We set him on the throne of our hearts, and we let him rule and reign there. Friends, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. But as I said earlier, you know, God isn't the only the person in this picture. We have God and we have Satan. And there's this battle that's going on. And friend, in every battle, there's one that is a victor and there's one that is defeated. In the battle between good and evil, light and dark, you know what? The contest is over. It's already over. We know who wins. Jesus wins, and Satan is utterly defeated. The question for me and the question for you is, on which side do you choose to stand? Our victory is certain. It's already determined if we choose Jesus. And we can live victoriously because Jesus wins. How do we know that? It's through the resurrection. He is proven to be the Son of God. If we choose darkness, We already stand defeated because Satan, the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, he is already lost. Friends, the decision is up to you. The choice is up to you. We beg you, we invite you, we implore you to make your life right, accept God, be obedient to His Word. If you haven't been baptized, you need to repent of those things that are contrary to Him. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your past sins. Let Christ dwell in you, and you can enjoy the victory. If there's anybody here this morning that needs to be obedient, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.